بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters, truly the greatest wealth that I have is my friends. And I'm not saying that as some kind of, you know, politically correct statement. I truly and genuinely believe this. And I believe that my friends that Allah has given me are a reflection of His grace and His mercy and His kindness. And these are my biggest asset and my greatest wealth. I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu for giving me these friends. And I thank them for being my friends. Now, one of them, mashallah, alhamdulillah, inshallah, one of the best of them is Marana Ahmad Muhammadi, the Amir of the Jamiat Ulama of KwaZulu-Natal in South Africa. And I am particularly fortunate that he sends me a message almost every day. And today he sent me a very, very beautiful message, which is a letter that somebody wrote. I don't know whether this was a Facebook post or whatever it was, but it is it's a salutary letter. And I thought that for today's further reminder, I will just read that letter for you. Please listen to it carefully. And as my Arabic teacher says, intabeh, pay attention. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our hearts to His kalam. This letter, interestingly, is addressed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person says, "Dear Allah ta'ala, it hailed here in Karachi last month." You know, hailstones. "It hailed here in Karachi last month, and as surprising and exciting as it was, it left me with a terrible sinking feeling in my heart. Because of the sudden harsh weather, the girl who helps with the household work at our place could not leave for a good 2 hours after she was done. And so I made her some coffee and I asked her to rest for a while till the weather got better. I myself snuggled in my blanket with Dan Brown's latest novel and a mug of hot coffee, feeling at bliss, while she sat across me, staring at me uncomfortably, as her mug of coffee sat beside her, untouched. I ignored her stare for a while, and then I lost my patience. 'Koi masala hai? Do you have a problem?' I asked her, clearly annoyed. She lowered her gaze in embarrassment, and then she fumbled with her dupatta and asked me in a very low voice if I could lend her a copy of the Quran for a while. Her timid request surprised me a little, since she is generally a cheerful soul. But I got up nonetheless and brought her my Quran, cleaning the layer of dust that had settled on the cover with a tissue paper, which turned grey as it wiped away proof of my heedlessness. Asking me to keep the Quran on the table, she went to the bathroom to make wudu. She came back a few minutes later, her face glistening with water droplets that she hadn't wiped away. As she tied her dupatta around her, and sat down facing the Qibla, I looked at her curiously as she carefully picked up the Quran and kissed it soundlessly, the hard copy resting on her lips for a few seconds before she put it down. She was illiterate, that I knew. Illiterate enough not to be able to even recognize her own name. Not in English, not in Urdu, and not, I was sure, in Arabic. She opened the Quran, first the wrong way up, and looked at the words for a good minute or two before realizing her mistake and turning the book over so that the words now stood right. I then saw her staring at the top right corner of the page that opened, as if trying to make out which juz she was on. Then she flipped a few more pages and landed on the fourth juz. Slowly, I saw her relax, as the index finger of her right hand touched the first word on the page, Lan. Her finger traced the curve of the Lam as it joined with the Noon, pausing for a bit, then going back to the curved neck of the Lam. She did it again and again and again, then moved on. By now, her eyes were filled with tears, and I wondered what exactly she was trying to do. Unable to wait any longer, I called out to her. At first, she did not hear me at all. The second time, however, she suddenly looked up in surprise, as if she had completely forgotten that there was someone else in the room too. Kya kar rahi ho? Tumhe padhna aata hai ya? I asked her rather insensitively, what are you doing? Do you know how to read this? She smiled sadly through her tears and shook her head. And then in her soft voice, on that cold afternoon, just sitting there, armed with nothing but a book and some coffee, she dropped bombs of guilt on me. She told me that she had no idea what these words say or what they would even sound like in her voice. She told me she can't begin to imagine what treasures are hidden in these words and how much she longs to be able to understand them. She said that she reads, within quotes, the Quran every day, for an hour on her busy days and for more when she is free, which essentially includes just staring at the words. She traces each letter, each curve of the Lam, the Sheen, the Kaf, each dot under the Ba and the Ya, and hopes that some miracle would occur, and that somehow, through the intensity of her gaze and the severity of her longing, a bridge will be formed, a bridge of love, perhaps, that will bring the treasures encapsulated in those words to her heart, and they will accumulate there, slowly spreading throughout her body with every heartbeat, slowly becoming a part of her very being. I sat in my place, unmoving, and looked at the 19-year-old, illiterate, uneducated girl in front of me, who had now shifted her attention back to the book in her hand. Looking down myself, I saw my hand holding Dan Brown's Origin, a book I had been reading for 3 days now. The tissue paper I had wiped the Quran with still lay to one side, still grey with the dust it had wiped. Still witness to my heedlessness, I thought of the multiple copies of Tafsir, both English and Urdu, that sat in the one cabinet at our place which was designated for religious books, the one least opened. I thought of the other copy of the Quran I own, the one with translations, and of how I have no idea where it currently is. Beside the dusty tissue paper lay my phone, my gateway to the world, holding thousands of lectures by renowned religious scholars, explanation of different surahs through pictures and text, advertisements of online courses that just require me to log in from the comfort of my own room. Basically, everything that I had been conveniently ignoring, because Robert Langdon's codes were more important to me to decipher than the book I genuinely believe to hold the secret to success in both worlds. It was in that moment, Allah Ta'ala, that I realized what being blessed truly means. Within a matter of minutes, the poor illiterate girl who scrubbed toilet floors for a living had shown me where I stand.
And I'm sorry. Ya Allah. Sorry because you sent me a love letter 1400 years ago. And it is still a mystery to me. Because I just wasn't interested in finding out what it says. Sorry because I spent 18 years of my life getting an education which guarantees me prestige and good money, and not 1 year trying to learn something that guarantees me you. Sorry because whatever excuses I may give you for my negligence towards your book, the truth is simple. It has all my life been the last item on my priority list. Love.
Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.